That awesome. Yes. Praise God. All the other religions of the world worship somebody who's dead. Praise God, Jesus is here. We've had church already this morning. Charlie, you did a great job. If you're available, you can travel with me, give an invitation. That was just wonderful. Makes me want to, I wanted to get saved again. Hallelujah. Man, that is awesome what God is doing here. You know, I got born again when I was 8 years old, and it was a real genuine conversion. I mean, my life was changed. I was made fun of by my friends the next day. They could tell something was wrong with me and or different about me. Not wrong with me, but they could tell it was different. And they got to asking, what happened to you? And I told them I got saved. And, you know, my friends made fun of me the very next day. I mean, it was a genuine conversion. And I believe that if I'd have died, I'd have gone to be with the Lord. But, you know, there wasn't any real victory or power in my life. Really, what happened was I had a relationship with God, but it was very immature, and it just kept me different than everybody else. I never got into the sin that a lot of other people got into, but I really wasn't into God. I wasn't enjoying all of the benefits of God. As a matter of fact, I was raised over here in Arlington, Texas, and it wasn't too long ago that my best friend, when I was in grade school and junior high, my best friend saw me on television, and he came up to Colorado Springs, and he was just so excited to see me on television. So anyway, we got back together and visited, went out to eat, and he told me about how he had been in drug rehab and got born again. His whole life was turned around, and he was just so excited about the Lord. And he said, "When did you get saved?" I said, "When I was 8. And he says, "You mean you were a Christian and you never told me?" And he never knew I had a relationship with the Lord. And that's kind of embarrassing. But, you know, I was born again. I was saved and stuck. But on March the 23rd, 1968, I had a dramatic encounter with the Lord. And I don't know how to say it except that I thought all there was to salvation was getting your sins forgiven and then holding on and living the best you could until you died. And then when you went to heaven is when salvation really started. That's kind of the concept I had. I don't know if it was told me in those terms, but that's the way that I thought it was. And I was pretty much on my own down here, and you just hold on and sing about when we all get to heaven. And after this encounter with the Lord, I came to realize that Jesus is real. I mean, more real than you. He's with us, and His power is available, and He wants to be active in our life and change us. And I mean immediately after that experience, my life just began to transform. And there had to be a lot of things done because I had to change my whole concept about God. I never doubted that God existed. I never doubted that God could do anything He wanted to do. I just doubted that I had any part to play with it. I thought God was sovereign and that God just sovereignly did whatever He wanted to. I thought we prayed, but then, you know, you couldn't guarantee that your prayers would be answered and anything would happen. And God had to renew my mind and change some things. And I tell you, it's been a process. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. But I have just totally reversed my relationship with God from what it started out as to where now I realize that, man, He is alive and active, and things are dependent upon what we do. You know, I'm headed somewhere else, but let me just say this along the way, that I had a couple of people today voice some concern over the elections and who got elected and stuff. And they said, "But, you know, God knows what He's doing." And I had to tell them, I said, "God doesn't control the elections. God doesn't control all of these things." See, there's a lot of people that have this fatalistic thing that God puts in. Only the people that God wants in will get elected, and only what happens if you get sick, it's because God had some purpose and it coming to pass in your life. And that's not what the Word of God teaches. There's a lot of people that honestly just don't have a real good understanding of the Lord. And this is the reason that you don't experience more of God operating in your life. It's not because God is limited, but He has limited what He will do in our life according to the way you think. And so this is my testimony. I was born again, but man, I did not understand the ways of God. And because of it, I saw my dad die when I was 12 years old. I spent 6 weeks praying for him to be raised up. There's no difference. He went ahead and died. I saw three people that I was real close to die by the time I was 18. And I was praying for all of them to be healed, but I didn't see any miracles and didn't see things happen. I didn't have any confidence and boldness in my life. And it wasn't because God made me that way. It was because of my own ignorance about the things of God. And it's only when I began to understand the nature of God and some things about the Lord that my life began to change. You know, if I hadn't have seen these things from the Word, I would still be in that same place I was at. And sad to say, this is where a lot of Christians are today, and they wonder why God isn't doing something. God moves in your life proportional to the understanding that you have of Him. God is a gentleman, and He does not force His way upon you. You have to learn the ways of God and learn to cooperate with God. God doesn't have favorites. The things that He does through Pastor Bob or whoever it is that you look at and you see great things happening in their lives, God has a great plan for you.
Yes, He does.
But you have to cooperate with it. You know, I was just in this little village in Uganda 10 days ago, and people had never heard the name of Jesus. And I was trying to share with them the gospel. How do you preach to people that if you say Jesus, they say Jesus who? If you talk about Jesus, you know, came to Israel, they don't know where Israel is. They don't know anything beyond the next village of, you know, a mile away. How do you tell them about He died for your sins? He was crucified. They don't know what crucifixion is. They don't know anything. How do you reach people like that? I tell you, it's hard when they don't have any reference point. It's hard to minister to them. You know what I basically did? I took the scripture in 2 Chronicles 16:9, I believe it is. It says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show Himself strong in behalf of those who are perfect in His sight." And I began to tell them that God has a perfect plan for your life. And it's better than anything you could ever dream of. And God is looking. He's right here in this little village of Lodoy today, looking to see if there's somebody that would open up their heart and receive. And I just began to start speaking to them about how God had a purpose for their life. And you know, it's the exact same thing that I'm saying today, that God has a purpose for your life, and it's bigger than what most of us have ever experienced. Our level of prosperity doesn't even compare with these people that didn't even have clothes in Uganda. And we think that we've got it so much better, but the average person is still stumbling through life, just doing the best they can, praying that God will help them, hoping that what they're doing is okay, but still missing out on the vital relationship with God, where you know for certain that God is speaking to you. And the eyes of the Lord are here at Calvary Cathedral this morning, looking to see if there's somebody who wants more, somebody who recognizes that God is more real than what you've experienced, somebody who can go beyond just what the banker says or what the doctor says or what the politician says, and that you can live supernaturally by His supply. You can get to a place where even what's going on in this world doesn't affect you. Man, God is looking for people, but you know what? It's us. We have to open up and understand these things. God wants to move in your life, but He cannot move without your consent and cooperation. Let me share this verse with you out of Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20. It says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Do y'all believe that?
Yes.
It's not true. Some of you, well, it says it right there. No, I didn't finish it. You got to take a whole thing. It says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." If there isn't any power working in you, then God cannot do it. And this is offensive to a lot of religious people to say that God can't do something. Well, God can't do a lot of things. He can't lie is what it says in Hebrews chapter 6. He cannot lack integrity. He cannot keep from loving you. And God cannot move in your life if there is no power moving in your life. You, in a sense, initiate the flow of God's power in your life. It's not God who's letting you languish. It's not God who's let you be sick. It's not God who's let you be poor and let you be sad and defeated. God has already provided everything. He's already done everything He's ever going to do. And then when you get born again, He puts this power on the inside of you. It's already in here. And yet the average Christian, see, is not aware of this. And so we spend our time praying and saying, oh God, stretch forth your hand. Oh God, come and touch me. Oh God, come and heal me. And we're begging God to do something, not understanding that the Bible says He's already done it. That's what that book is about that I held up with the dog chasing his tail. You've already got it, so quit trying to get it. And yet people are constantly, oh God, heal me. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes you were healed. Why would you ask God to do something that He's already done? It's because you don't believe that He did it. Amen. I know some of you are struggling because you say, now wait a minute. I know that the Bible says by His stripes I'm healed, but here's what the doctor says and here's what my body says. Which is it? It's both. He's already healed you. Here's the verses I was wanting to get to in Ephesians chapter 1. Here's a prayer that he prayed. And in verse 14, I'm going to answer that question in just a second. In verse 14 or verse 15, Ephesians 1:15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And here's the prayer that he's praying. Now, let me just say before we get into this that this is totally different than the prayers most Christians pray today. Most Christians are praying, oh God, move. Oh God, pour out your power. Oh God, do a new thing. And it's all about God, do something. God, do something. God, do something. Paul's prayer is about God, show them what you've already done. There's a big difference between those two. God, we aren't waiting on God to move. God's not the one that's stuck. We're the ones that are stuck. We're the ones that don't have any power operating in us. It's us that is hindering God. God is wanting to move. It's not God sitting there with His arms folded saying, unless you pray more, unless you beg a little harder, unless you study more, unless you fast, I'm not going to move in your life. See, that's the impression that most people have, that God is up there saying, you created this mess, now live with it. But no, God is up there in love. Man, He's wanting to move. He's trying to get His power to you. He's speaking through me. He's speaking through Pastor Bobby. He's speaking through all of these things. Charlie today. God is trying to reach out to you. God wants you healed more than you want to be healed. God wants you to prosper more than you want to prosper. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. You don't have to beg God to do something. God has already done it. You just need to understand that He's done it and now He's given you power and authority. And if you would take a step in faith and make a demand on what the Word says He's already done, God's power would be released like a hurricane, a tsunami upon you. God wants to move in your life big time, but we, with our doubt and unbelief, are the ones that hinder the flow of God. So he prays this prayer, and in verse 17, this is Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You know, I could spend hours on this. Let me just say quickly that we have His calling. It's His calling. We call, you know, my ministry is called Andrew Womack Ministries, but actually it's His ministry. I'm a partaker of Him. I get to do part of what He does. It's His calling. You have the same calling, the same anointing on you that Jesus had to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Every one of you. I don't care if you're a full-time minister or not. If you're a janitor, if you're a banker, if you're a lawyer, if you're whatever, God has called you to the ministry of Jesus and has given you the exact same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You have raising from the dead power on the inside of you. It's not out there somewhere. It's already inside of you. You have His calling, and it says the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The glory of God isn't in heaven. It's in you. It says in Thessalonians that you have been called to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the glory of Jesus on the inside of you. It's not out there someplace. And people struggle with this and say, if this was so, I'd know it. No, you wouldn't. Jesus said in John chapter 3, that which is spirit, and that which is flesh, That was just His way of saying the spirit is the spirit and the flesh is the flesh. You can't feel the spirit. Now, I know we use that terminology, I feel the spirit. What you're actually feeling is faith, and faith produces an anointing, a tangible anointing of God and stuff. But, you know, the spirit of God is in this place today. And many of you say, oh, I hadn't seen Him yet. That doesn't mean He's not here. It's just in a different realm. And likewise, on the inside of you, there is a spiritual you. That's what that book is that I gave to Pastor Bob, Spirit, Soul, and Body. This is what changed my life, is to realize that there is a part of me that I can't see and feel. I have to just take the Word of God and believe it. But I have the glory of God on the inside of me. You have the glory of God on the inside of you. You have the same power that raised Christ from the dead on the inside of you. Some of you say, I do not. Well, just keep reading right here. In verse 19, it says, He's wanting you to get your eyes open to the calling that you have, to the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. And in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. This says that He wants you to understand the exceeding greatness of His power towards us, the same power that He used when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You have raising from the dead power on the inside of you if you are born again. It's not out there someplace. And you know, so much religion talks about we are doing this spiritual warfare and there's demons over the Fort Worth area and they're blocking our prayers from getting up into heaven, and we've got to get everybody together and pray and get a hole in the demonic realm so that our prayers can get up to heaven. You know, in the Old Testament, that was true. You can see that illustrated in Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10. But the difference is that in the New Testament, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. I'm not trying to get my prayers up, you know, through the atmosphere and past the demons to God. People will say, well, that prayer didn't get above the ceiling. You don't need your prayer to get above your nose. God's right here on the inside. That's the reason you bow your head when you pray, so you can say, Father. Amen. Man, God lives right here on the inside of you, and you've got this raising from the dead power inside of you. It's not somewhere else. And yet so many Christians are, oh God, I know You have power. That you don't believe You have any, but you believe God has power. And that, God, I believe that You can move. And you spend your time asking God to do what He told you to do. He told you to go lay your hands on the sick and they would recover. Did you know He never told you to pray for the sick? There are examples of people praying for the sick. I'm not saying it's wrong for you to pray for the sick, but He didn't tell you to pray and ask Him to heal the sick. Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 9, other places, He gave you a command to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. He told you to heal the sick. And people say, but I can't heal the sick. You know, I'm nothing. Without Jesus, I'm nothing. That's John chapter 15, verse 4, and it's absolutely true. Without Jesus, you are nothing. But it is untrue to say that you are ever without Jesus. Without Jesus, you're nothing, but you're never without Him. And so He lives on the inside of you. He put this raising from the dead power on the inside of you. And the truth is, if you don't lay hands on the sick, if you don't have some power working on the inside of you, if you don't speak and resist and rebuke the devil, he won't leave. You've got to start understanding that God has moved from heaven to inside of you. You have the power of God living on the inside of you, and it's up to you whether you get healed. It's up to you whether you're happy. It's up to you whether you're encouraged. It's up to you whether you walk in the power and the anointing of God. You're the one that controls that. Now, there's a balance to that. Some people could say, so I'm just the source all by myself. Absolutely not. God is the source, but that source lives inside of you, and you're the one that flips the switch and activates it and turns it on. You know, I use the example of electricity, that electricity has been on the earth since God created it. Adam and Eve could have been living in air-conditioned houses. God's not the one that created electricity just in the last couple of hundred years. He's not the one that made cell phones and things like that. All of the laws that govern those things have been here since the beginning, but it was our ignorance that kept us from being able to use those things. And when the electric company generates the power, they deliver it to you. You know, Pastor Bob could have called them up today and say, hey, we've got church this morning. There's going to be 1,000 people coming to church. We need the electricity on. We need the air conditioning. We need lights. We need the PA system. We need all of these things. Would you please turn on the power? You know what? They aren't going to turn on the power for you. They've already generated it. They delivered it to you. It's put into this facility. And if you want the lights on, you have to flip the switch. You have to turn it on. So in a real sense, you're the ones that turned on this electricity. Did that mean that you're the source? No, you could take a light bulb and put it in your mouth and it'll never light up. You aren't the source. But the source has made this power available to you. And I don't care how much you beg and plead and ask them, and you could tell them there's thousands of people that need to know this. Would you please do something? They are not going to send somebody out here to flip the switch. You flip the switch. It's at your disposal. And this is what the Bible says in Isaiah 45:11, where it says, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. It doesn't mean that you can command God and you're bigger than God and God's got to obey your every wish. But God has already provided everything. When you got born again, you are as saved as you'll ever be. On the inside, you are identical to Jesus. You have His life, His power, His mind, His faith, His anointing, His joy. You've already got everything that you'll ever have in eternity already in your spirit. It's not in your soul and it's not in your body yet, but in your spirit it's complete. And if you would renew your mind and find out what you've got, then you can flip the switch and you release the healing power of God. You're the one that releases the anointing of God. If you don't have joy, don't beg God for joy. The Bible says, Galatians 5:22, that you've already got love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance on the inside of you. If you are depressed and discouraged, it's because you are operating in just your natural self, not who you are in Christ. In Christ, you've got joy. And if you want it, turn it on. You know how you turn it on? You go to praising God when you don't feel like it. You go to acting on what the Bible says instead of what you feel. You pull your thumb out of your mouth and just begin to grow up and say, I don't care what I feel like. This is what God's Word says. You begin to praise God. And all of a sudden, this life that's on the inside begins to flow out. If you aren't happy, it's your fault. Amen. And some of you are thinking, this isn't blessing me. You're just adding to my condemnation and you're saying it's all my fault. Because the way that the world copes, the way that we try and deal with it is to say, the reason I'm such a jerk is because of my family. It's because I was raised in a dysfunctional family. It's because of that woman that you gave me. And we try and blame everybody else. And that's the way that most people are comforted. They're a victim. And you're making me feel sad. You're criticizing me. You're saying it's my fault. That's exactly what I'm saying. It is absolutely your fault. You may have things that have happened to you that there's reasons why you feel the way that you do, but you don't know what Jesus has done for you. Jesus has given you more than enough power. On the inside, you are above only and not beneath. You're the head and not the tail. You've got the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That ought to be enough for your headache. That ought to be enough for your little runny nose or whatever it is that you're dealing with. You may think I'm being mean to you. I'm just blunt. I'm running out of time. I'm talking as fast as I can. Amen. I'm not angry at anybody, but I'm telling you that this is what the Lord told me. I saw my father die. I saw my grandmother die. I saw people die around me that I prayed for, and I couldn't understand why God didn't do anything. It wasn't God that didn't do anything. It was my ignorance that kept me from releasing the power of God. And there are Christians today, there's Christians right in this room who you believe God is real and you believe that He can do miracles. When Charlie talks about being delivered from alcoholism and drugs, you say, I believe it can happen. But then you come and just beg God to do it for you, not understanding that all you got to do is receive salvation. And when you get born again, God puts this supernatural raising from the dead power on the inside of you. And then if you will stand and resist the devil, James 4:7 says, he will flee from you. He doesn't flee directly from God. He flees from you. You know, Charlie didn't share all of his testimony, but I guarantee you, there's times that he prayed and asked God many times for deliverance and help. But then there was one time he just came to a place to where he believed. He believed God did it, and he stood on it and acted on it and took a step of faith. There are people in here who are praying, and you're asking for God to do things in your life. And I'm telling you, when you get born again, God moves on the inside of you, but you're the one that has to flip the switch. You're the one that has to release the power of God. You need to find out the authority and the power that God has given you. And this is what you ought to do is pray this prayer. This prayer is praying that God would open up the eyes of your understanding so that you could see the hope of His calling, that you could see the potential of what you've got in Christ, that you could see the riches of the glory that are already on the inside of you, that you could see the exceeding greatness of His power which has been given unto you, the same power that was used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. It's more than enough power for whatever it is that you have. God's supply is infinitely greater than your need. People misunderstand me all the time and think that I don't have compassion for people. But it's because I see things differently than a lot of people do. People come to me and they're in these hopeless situations. And the doctor says you're going to die. And they come to me and they're just crying and weeping. And, you know, it's impossible. It's an incurable disease. What can you do? And nothing is impossible. The power that God has placed on the inside of you is greater than your problem. And because of that, I understand where people are. But I don't have the same hopelessness and helplessness that people are expressing. I don't relate to that. Most people think I'm mean for doing that. But you know what? I've probably seen more people raised from the dead than you have. I've seen lots of people raised from the dead. I've seen lots of blind eyes open, deaf ears open, because instead of just sitting down and crying with the person and saying, it really is bad, I'm not sure God can do this. Man, I sit there and tell them, it's no problem. What you've got on the inside of you is so much greater than the problem you're dealing with. Just, you know, straighten up. Stand up, act like a man. Resist this thing, fight it, and the devil will flee from you. And there's a lot of people that would rather have a hug than a healing. But I'm telling you, you need to recognize God has given us power and authority. I understand people when you don't understand these things, how that you feel and stuff. But, you know, people come to me and they just act so helpless, pitiful, like, The doctors have done everything they can do. The bankers have done everything. I've done everything. Could you please help me? And they want me to agree with them. If I agree with that attitude, they're going to die. People come to me like, well, there's nothing I can do. Well, that's wrong. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. That you always triumph in all things. The Lord wants you to be an absolute victor over everything, and He's put that supernatural raising from the dead power. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you think Jesus is looking at your problems the way that you are? Do you think Jesus is just suffering and putting up with it? And I guarantee you need to have the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. I'm not upset with people. I'm mad at the devil. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, he saw a lot of miracles happen. He saw multiple people raised from the dead. And he would hit people. He would poke people. He would slap people and do things. There was a time that they had a baby one time with one of these water on the brain, swollen heads. And they gave him this baby and he prayed for that baby and kicked it off the stage into the front row. And by the time it landed on the front row, its head was normal size and the baby was healed. He used to punch people and scream and yell and do stuff. And I read this book about him and they said, why do you do those things? He says, I'm not mad at people. I'm mad at the devil. I'm trying to get to the devil. I'm against that sickness. I can't help it if their body gets in the way. And he saw people healed. But we're so compassionate today. We would never offend anybody and do stuff like that. And so we just put up with sickness and stuff. And we don't know who we are. We don't understand the power and the authority that God has given us. And so we're tolerating things that God never intended for you to tolerate. Amen. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we're the victors. If you've been born again, you are the power source of God on this earth. And we're going around acting like we don't have any power, like we're out of energy. And the truth is, what's on the inside of you is greater than any nuclear device, greater than anything. You've got the supernatural power that raised Jesus from the dead living on the inside of you, and we're going around acting like we're pathetic and there's nothing we can do. That attitude's killing you. And some of you are spending lots of times on your knees praying and asking God for it, but He told you to do it. He said, you heal the sick. You cleanse the lepers. You resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And God is not going to do what He told you to do. You can't just come to God and act pathetic and beg and wait on God to set you free and to move in your life. You need to find out who He is, what power He's given you, see who you are in Christ and take your righteous position and begin to speak with authority, and you can see the kingdom of God come to pass in your life. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, I believe it is. It says, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is preached and it suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You know, there's multiple ways of interpreting that, but the way I see that is that if you are going to take the kingdom of God, if you're going to see the kingdom of God come to pass in your life, you got to get violent. You got to stir yourself up. You got to get to a place that instead of saying, dear Jesus, please help me if it be your will, for Jesus' sake, amen. That's not going to get you anywhere. You're going to have to start praising Him. Thank you, Father, that I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And that if I speak, it's going to happen. If I say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and if I don't doubt in my heart, then it will come to pass. That death and life are in the power of my tongue, and whatever I say comes to pass. And you're going to have to stir yourself up and start believing and take some authority and resist the devil and fight the devil. Amen? You need to get stirred up. I'm trying to stir you up this morning. That God's got greater things for you than most of us are experiencing. Many of you, your neighbors, don't have a clue that you're a Christian. They can't tell any difference. You get sick the same time of year that they get sick. You have the same fears, the same poverty, the same worries, the same phobias. Something's wrong with this picture. We ought to stick out like a healed thumb in this society. Man, there ought to be something different, but you know what? It's not going to happen just because you're a nice person and because you go to church and you try and be good and you read your Bible some. You're going to have to take the Word of God, find out who you are, what your rights and privileges are, and then you need to start resisting the devil and commanding some things to happen. You need to flip the switch. You need to turn on the power of God. Jesus said you receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me. And that's not just a witness like going out and telling people that Jesus wants to save you and stuff. That's a part of witness, but you can go on and read in the fourth chapter the way they witnessed was to go out and heal people. Signs and wonders done by the name of your holy child Jesus, and his shadow fell on people and they were healed. And that's how they saw evangelism happen, is power evangelism. So being a witness is not only through word, but it's through your actions, living in victory. Man, God wants you to demonstrate his power. And brothers and sisters, everybody ought to know that there's something different about us. Everybody ought to be able to see that, man, you aren't the same. Why aren't you afraid of stuff? Why aren't you bothered? They ought to be able to see this witness on the inside of you. And the good news is, brothers and sisters, if you've been born again, everybody in here should be born again after the invitation that Charlie gave. Everybody in here should be born again. And if you know the Lord, you've already got all of these things. It's not that God has to do something. You don't need a new touch. You're already touched. You're touched in your head, amen. We need to get our mind renewed and find out what we already have and begin to start using it and act like a person who's been liberated and set free and talk like it and expect bigger things and better things than what we've been experiencing. I'm not saying any of these things to condemn anybody, but again, I've just got a short period of time and I'm trying to shock you and wake you up that you aren't waiting on God. God's done his part. You are now the power of God here on this earth. You have his life on the inside of you. And you've got to get your eyes opened up to what God has already done and start taking your stand and standing and fighting and using this authority. And brothers and sisters, if you'd do that, I guarantee you, you'd see the supernatural power of God begin to manifest. You know, in the last 44 years, I have seen God just do awesome things, including our son was raised from the dead after being dead for 5 hours, came back with no brain damage, no more than he had before. Might have seen Jamie raised from the dead just a month ago. Something happened, and I don't know, but praise God, here she sits. It's a miracle. And praise God, I've seen 3 or 4 people raised from the dead. There's over 50 people that I know that have been raised from the dead. Miracles are happening. And you know, none of these things, it's not God that all of a sudden came alive March the 23rd, 1968. It was me that began to encounter. I began to change the way I thought, the way that I looked at things. The Bible says, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Your life is the way it is because of the way you think. I heard one amen and a few heads shake. Not many people want to believe that. But you know, it's absolutely true. Your life is the way it is because of the way you think. It's because of the power that's working in you or the lack thereof. It's not true to say God can just do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. It's according to the power that works in you. And so the answer to all of this is to get into the Word, to renew your mind, to find out who you are and what you've got. And then as you begin to start thinking in line with this and think that, you know what? I'm the one who's the overcomer. How dare cancer come against me? I refuse cancer to have any dominance in my life. How dare people to talk about a recession? God supplies all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm not limited to this world system. And as you begin to start thinking and acting according to what the Word says, all of a sudden God's power flows. And people think, well, God did something special for you. No, God wants to do it for every born-again Christian. But it's only those who have this power working in them who experience it. And so if you aren't experiencing God's best, it's not God who's not moving. It's you that's clogged up. It's you that's restricted the flow. And you can change that. You can change that by the renewing of your mind. And you will prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And you know, it's a process. And when I talk about things like this, some people, this really puts them off because they don't want to begin a process. They just want to sit there and be carnal, veg out, watch television all day, just operate. They want to be just like everybody else, and they want to come to the preacher and have the preacher just wave my hand over you and get you well, see you set free so that you can go back to being carnal. And a lot of people don't like this because this puts responsibility on you, and it takes time to renew your mind. It takes effort to renew your mind. And a lot of people don't like this. And so the vast majority of Christians will not receive what we're talking about because it's just too much effort. It'd cramp your television schedule. You'd rather watch the light of your television rather than the light of God's Word. And you know what? God loves you, and you can still go to heaven with that attitude. Matter of fact, you can get there quicker. Because you'll die along the way and you'll be one of those that just struggles and stuff. But if you want to have victory in your life, you can have victory. God has done His part. And as quickly as you can renew your mind and find out who you are and what Jesus has done for you, you could begin to start walking in absolute victory. Amen? I believe that with all of my heart. So I want to challenge you. So I want to challenge you today to quit doubting God and quit acting like God hasn't done anything. Start believing His Word that you have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead already living on the inside of you. And instead of begging God for power and begging God for faith and begging God for healing and deliverance and prosperity, start believing that you've already got it and say, Lord, show me how to get this out. Show me how the kingdom works. And you start renewing your mind, but quit doubting God. Believe Him and just get after it. You know, when I first began to see this, we were pastoring over in Sigaville, Texas, just a little bit southeast of Dallas. And I had never heard of Copeland and Hagen. I hadn't heard of them yet. I didn't know anything about faith. I just knew that there was more. I knew that God was not my problem. I knew that the problem had to be me. And I knew that I had supernatural power. And we started laying hands on everything that moved. I'd grab people walking out of a 7-Eleven and pray for them. I prayed for anybody and everybody. And you know what? We saw blind eyes open and deaf ears open before we knew that anybody else on the face of the earth had ever done it. We had never heard that anybody else was doing it, but I read it in the Bible. We started seeing miracles happen. And I didn't have a clue what I was doing. But I just had this knowledge that I had the same power on the inside of me that raised Christ from the dead. I didn't know how to release it, but you just try everything. You know, an old blind squirrel will get a nut every once in a while if you don't quit. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I was just praying for everything, and every once in a while we would see some miracles happen. Now I see a lot more miracles happen because I've got more understanding. I can direct it and use it better. But I still don't understand everything. I'm still in the process of renewing my mind. But I'm telling you, that it was the renewing of my mind that caused the power of God to begin to start operating in my life. It's not just praying and begging and pleading with God and asking Him for something. It's renewing your mind to what you already have. And that's what needs to happen in the body of Christ. And I want to encourage you today that God's done everything. He wants you to have victory and power more than you wanted. If you would just cooperate with the Lord a little bit, if you'd spend time in the Word of God, if you'd receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit begin to start speaking through you and revealing things to you, I guarantee you, God wants to flow through you powerfully. God wants to do miracles in your life more than you want it. Amen? Amen. Y'all really believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Well, Father, we just agree today. We agree in the name of Jesus. And Father, I'm asking that just like this prayer, that the Holy Spirit would open up the eyes of our understanding, that we could see the hope of our calling that you've placed in us, the exceeding greatness of your power that you've given us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is already in us. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit open up people's eyes to this. Even if they don't know how to get it out, just knowing that we've got it is a large part of the victory. Father, I pray that the hopelessness, the care, the sense of powerlessness, that we can do nothing and we're just begging you. Father, I pray that you would get, I pray that these words would drive that out of people and that people would stand up and recognize their authority in Christ and just put their foot down and refuse to allow the devil to rob and steal and destroy from them any longer. That, Father, the violent would take the kingdom by force, that we would stand up and refuse to allow the devil to just defeat us any longer. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I believe that your Holy Spirit is here to just activate, cause people to rise up on the inside and stand their ground. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we receive it. We receive it. You know, right now, God's Holy Spirit is quickening faith in people, and people are being set free from things right now. Things that have been bothering you, things that have been dominating you, physical problems, emotional problems, they're being broken right now. All you got to do is just exert yourself. Use a little bit of faith. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of our tongue. Use your words and talk death to those things that are destroying you and speak life over you. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I believe every one of us probably could receive something. All of us need to be stirred up every once in a while or we'll settle to the bottom. So I know that everybody could receive this, but there's some people that God's dealing with right now. And I believe that you have gotten a word from God today about why things have just been dragging along in your life and you haven't been able to get victory over them. And God's quickened faith in your heart. And I want to give you an opportunity today to do something. Faith without works is dead. So I'd like to ask, if you believe that God has quickened your faith, if you're ready to use your faith and stand and see these things defeated, I just want to ask you to stand right where you are and use that as a step of faith. And if you stand, then I'm going to lead you in prayer. And praise God, we're going to resist the devil and we're going to see some things broken and the power of God released in your life. Father, I pray with all of these who are standing right now and whatever the situation is, physical, emotional, financial, relationship, whatever it is in our careers, we just stand right now on the outside and on the inside and say that in the name of Jesus, Satan, you've taken it as far as you're going to take it. We stop it right now. In the name of Jesus, we resist this. We command sickness and disease and poverty and oppression to go. Satan, we break your power. I want you to talk out your mouth. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Talk to yourself. Talk to your body. Talk to your situation. And as we say these words, we curse whatever the devil is doing. We command the devil's lies to stop. We command those sicknesses and those diseases to be gone now in the name of Jesus. We command poverty to be gone. We command that the anointing of God is giving us favor, that we've got jobs, bonuses, increases, favor, all of these things. We just release our faith and speak that in the name of Jesus, we've got our breakthrough. God has put this supernatural raising from the dead power on the inside of us, and we refuse to submit to defeat and discouragement. We speak life now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Talk right now and speak forth your faith that you've got it in the name of Jesus. Father, we have those petitions that we desired of you. It is a done deal. Thank you, Jesus. Begin to thank God right now and praise Him. Believe that God's power is on the inside of you and that your words matter. Receive right now. Father, even before we see the physical change, we believe that we've got it. We believe that the power of God is working on our behalf. Thank you that things are working even beyond what we can see. We just speak that it's changing from this time forth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we agree and receive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You can be seated. You know, it's wonderful to get stirred up and come to a place where you're standing and believing, but the real battle takes place when you leave here. You have to be able to maintain the same intensity, the same faith. And I tell you, I've got a lot of materials. I know that Calvary here has a lot of different ways. They have a Bible school. They've got all of these things. You need to take advantage of what's available to you, and you need to stir yourself up. It can't just be a one-time deal. You have to live on this level. And if you do that, I guarantee you, you'll see victory. You know, I have a lot of people that I prayed with people this week that had pain for 15, 20 years, and they were never without pain. I prayed over them, and the pain instantly left. They moved around, couldn't find any pain. And then I tell them, I said, now look, if you ever have another pain, it doesn't mean that you've lost your healing or that you know, it's come back on you or something like that. It's just that the devil knows I mean what I say, and he flees from me, but he's not sure about you. And so if you ever have another pain, that's just like the devil knocking on the door, seeing if you'll let him in. And if you respond by saying, oh no, I wasn't healed, or oh no, it's back, well then you just open up the door and let it in. But I said, if you would respond and stir yourself up and take your authority and talk to these things the way I spoke to it, I said, it'll just leave. He may knock on the door a couple of times, but he won't stay. You've got to have this kind of an attitude. You got to live at this level. Amen. And the good news is you can do it. But it's going to take some effort on your part and some renewing of your mind. And one of the most important things, you know, we've already given an invitation. Many people have prayed to be healed and delivered and receive Jesus today. But one of the things that is absolutely necessary, I had a woman come up to me today that said last year or either the year before she came forward and got the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was here at Calvary Cathedral. And you know what? She said her life has never been the same. The single most important thing after you get born again, you got to have Jesus first, but after you get born again, the single most important thing is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of speaking in tongues. I tell you what, it's absolutely essential. It's essential. It's not essential for going to heaven. You can go to heaven without it, but it's essential if you want to walk in this authority and power. You need the Holy Spirit to help you operate in the spiritual realm. And I could just give you so many scriptures on that. But Jesus said you would receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so I want to give an invitation today that if there's anybody here that doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to receive that. And somebody, you know, there's people that say, well, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I got born again. If you don't speak in tongues, you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's possible to have the Holy Spirit and not speak in tongues. I'm not speaking in tongues right now, and I have the Holy Spirit. But you know what? It's a part of it. It's like a pair of tennis shoes. They all come with tongues. Amen? And I'm guaranteeing you, if you don't speak in tongues, you're missing a portion of what God wants for you. It is a powerful, powerful experience. And you need this baptism of the Holy Spirit to be successful and really walk in the power of God. Is there anybody here today who would say, I don't have that, but I'd like to receive it. I'd like to receive the Holy Spirit and this gift of speaking in tongues. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand so that I can pray with you. Man, there's people all over. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't this great? I tell you what, this will make a huge, huge difference in your life. Awesome. You know, if you raised your hand or if you were supposed to raise your hand and didn't do it, would you just get up out of your seat and come forward? And we want to pray with you and help you to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit right here. Just come forward right now and stand here.